Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Pop.
Views and opinions of this show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this network and its affiliates.
Wow, sorry about that, guys. I'm really not sure what went on right there. We'll give you guys another 45 minutes. Hey, man, what's up?
Hey, what's up, bro? Good to be back on.
We're all good. We're back on here.
All right, cool. So as we're talking about today, though, before we lose that Prime Minister, I should say, right?
Yeah.
Not many people know that Canada is still under the United Kingdom, too. You know, people think that Canada is a country like the United States, where it's completely influenced only within its own, you know, borders. But
right.
In Canada, technically, still under the United Kingdom. And you're seeing this progressive push that's in England, Germany, Europe, across Europe, and Canada. And it seems like what they're trying to do, to me, is outdo the United States with civil rights. How do
you
feel
about that? like a pissing contest for that, right? Like, oh, listen, the U.S., they're so good at things. Let's try and top them, like that kind of thing?
Yeah. The United States is always talking about how they have all these great things and liberty and freedom for all this people. And then they say, well, why don't you have this? And why don't you? So then they go ahead and do it themselves. And then they go, look what we got when the United States doesn't have. What makes the United States so great? And I really feel that is the major influence of these super progressive nations, is the fact that they're trying to compete with the United States principles upon civil rights, our Bill of Rights, and liberty, but they're kind of leaving out some stuff, right? Gun rights. A lot of these countries don't have gun rights.
No, not at all.
Yeah. So you're not free.
You remember
people.
When there's a Charlie in France, when the Charlie Hebdo thing, how the terrorists came and they shot everybody in the building? Well, I saw some crazy videos of, like, the police, the first responders who got there. They didn't have guns. How? I mean, I understand that the U.S. is a different culture. We're just different than them. They see guns as a taboo thing. But Americans, that's what we base our Constitution from. You know, we're still proud of our forefathers for the Revolution. It's just different. And I don't know. Watching a video of the cops being shot and stuff like that just makes me think. I mean, especially now where over there, I mean, you may not be able to have guns, but I would like to protect myself against a vehicle because they have cars plowing into crowds of people almost every other week nowadays.
How did they have those shooters get guns? They had guns. You know what I mean? Like, if you can ban guns, how'd they get guns?
But that's a lot of the Second Amendment arguments, you know. It's like, for me at least, it's like, I know I want to be able to, if somebody comes to my family and puts my family in jeopardy, then I want to be able to protect my family. And I'm not naive to the fact that if someone is coming to rob my house or break into my house and take things from me, that they're going to have a gun. I at least want to have a gun or a better gun than they have. I don't see that why that's such a strange taboo subject. I really don't. And you know, the
to me, that's more progressive. That's more progressive. You are more progressive as a nation, to me, if your government trusts its people to defend itself.
Right.
You know, if your nation doesn't respect their citizens' rights to protect themselves, then it shows they don't trust their citizens. And they don't trust their citizens, it shows that they're not as progressive as they say they are. Because that's what progression is, about freedoms, right? And helping the people and making society better and the individuals having more freedom and civil rights. To me, the Second Amendment is civil rights. I truly believe that to own a firearm is a civil rights issue. in any aspect, if there was ever a group of people that were denied the right to bear arms because of their race, religion, or whatever, I would feel that's a civil rights issue.
Right, because they can't protect themselves adequately, you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
Going back to what we were talking about right before the technical difficulty that I still have no idea what happened. We were talking about how, you know, how Canada passed the law saying that you can't discriminate against a transgender person, which I 100% agree with. You shouldn't have to discriminate. But what they consider discriminate, what they could, and it's up to the judge. So it's not like this is cut and dry. It's up to the judge on the case. They can consider not using Z or Z or whatever other pronouns to these people as discriminatory and therefore illegal under the gender identity.
That's crazy to me. I mean, I really do sympathize with that with the community when they're treated badly, but to have a law like that is persecution. You're persecuting people who should not be getting held down by the law. The law should not be involved in this. You know, the law should get involved when that person is harassed or hurt or tormented to suicide.
Right.
Speaking of suicide, Progressive Canada. It started out, they passed suicide for the terminally ill. Their healthcare system, people to do assisted suicide. Right? I'm a little on edge about that. I can see how things can go wrong. But I understand at the same time, because if you're in pain and you just don't want to go through it anymore, who's to tell you, you know, you shouldn't be able to go out without pain. But here's the thing that they're pushing on BBC News and things. And when they start pushing these things, it's because they're trying to get public opinion in its favor so they can make it that way socially.
Right.
They're justifying allowing people who are simply mentally ill to be able to use the healthcare system to commit suicide if they are bipolar, if they are schizophrenic, if they have severe anxiety. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And it's not like that's how it is now, but when I looked at the comments, because the social media tells all. Bro, all the heart comments and all the heart emojis and all the thumbs up emojis for the comments that went like this. Well, what kind of merciful nation are we if we don't allow people who are suffering to kill themselves? Mental illness is just as much suffering as physical pain. It already led to this discussion happening in its favor, as they said that it wouldn't lead to. And here we are. Like, we all know what you're doing. You're just trying to kill off your, you know, you don't want the mentally ill to be a burden on your society. We already know that. We're not stupid.
Right.
We know it's not like being merciful. These people are suicidal to begin with because it comes with these disorders.
Correct.
And now you're
correct.
Giving them the root. To commit suicide, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to do it. And here's the thing about these suicidal intentions that come with these disorders. They're not always suicidal, bro. You could have anxiety, depression, or whatever, bipolar, and then a whole year goes by, and then there's just 2 weeks out of that year that become so burdenful that you start thinking about suicide. And all you got to do is to get through these weeks, right? It might take 2 weeks, could take months. But eventually it passes, and you're not suicidal anymore. What they are going to do is enable people to kill themselves in these periods rather than try to get them to make it through these periods so that they can survive. It's crazy. And the amount of people that I saw in favor of it, and then I wrote a comment about it, I got a bunch of angry faces. You know what I mean? A little angry emoji. I was like, I don't think people should be able to use the healthcare system to take their own life just for having a mental disorder. And I said it was as simple as that. It wasn't like F you, Canada, right? That was it. I got some mad emojis. I got a bunch of comments. who are you to tell people they can't kill themselves? And I'm like, and I explained it. Well, let me explain this for those who do not get it. These symptoms come with suicidal thoughts, and these suicidal thoughts aren't something that lasts forever. And if you give someone an out, they're going to take it when they could have got through these few weeks using other resources that the healthcare system should be provided so that they can survive their mental illness rather than let their mental illness defeat them. And you're going to give them the means to do so.
Essentially,
I don't agree.
Essentially, if you're doing that, though, like you said, essentially, if you're doing that, it's kind of like, do you know what, dude? I'm so sick right now. I have the flu. And then I kill myself. You know what I mean? Like, mental illness is a disease, just like a lot of other things or other ailments. You're telling me, essentially what you're saying is, I'm not going to get through this sickness. You know what? This stomach bug is really killing me. Give me that. I'm going to kill myself here. Let's go to the kill doctor, the Kevorkian. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I don't think it's really, and a lot of time I see, you know, suicide, a lot of people say suicide is a long-term answer to a temporary question, right? Isn't that what they say?
Because a long-term solution to a temporary problem.
Right, to a temporary problem. You're not thinking clearly when you're depressed, man. And, like, I don't have a lot of experience myself with that, but I'm sure any of the listeners have. I'm sure a high percentage have. Most people have. And, you know, you can feel depressed for a day or two because something shitty really happened in your life, and that's okay. But the answer isn't killing yourself. The answer is getting help, finding out how to fix the stressor, to fix your issue. It's not – listen, and when it comes to the terminally ill, if you – in my opinion, if it comes to the terminally ill and you feel as though you might as well just kill yourself before you're completely shitting yourself, degenerative with Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS, and you want to end your life then there, I feel like you should be able to do that. You know, who am I? Like there's people, you know, who said, you know, well, who are you to tell somebody else they can't kill themselves? In my opinion, if it's an internal issue, and there's really no other answers except for suffering and living out a shitty life, then go ahead. But when you're depressed or you feel like there's a mental issue, that's not really the answer there. It's a whole different category.
Think about it, right? Think about it like this, right? You go to your doctor. Doc, I have OCDs, man. They're really getting to me. I can't stop turning my doorknob 85 times before I go to sleep. And I can't even sleep at night because I got to check my alarm clock every 15 minutes. I literally haven't slept in days. I mean, I go through this. I'm so tired. I'm so depressed. I'm having suicidal thoughts. I really just don't want to do this anymore. And then the doctor gives him a plant pamphlet. And the doctor says, okay, well, here's what we can do for you. We can give you treatment A, which is that we're going to give you more medicine. We're going to try to get you some therapy, try to help you out, try to get you everything you need to feel better, you know. And we're going to try to do what we can to make you feel better. And we got a team of doctors and neurologists who can help you. Well, we got option B. Why don't you just kill yourself? And we'll help you do it. If you come to us, we'll give you the – it'll be painless. We'll end it all. We'll make you feel so much better. All your pain and suffering is gone. Like, this is not how it's supposed to be.
No,
okay?
You're
never going to convince me, okay? And all these people had the hearts and shit. Like, guy was like, well, you know what? If they want to end it all, they should end it all with dignity. Rather than use a bullet or poison, they should be able to go to their doctors and have their family around them, surrounding them as they pass away. I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me.
Well, I agree with that.
It had 650 hearts.
Dude,
and anyone
that
disagrees got all these angry faces.
I agree with
that.
This is
for mentally
ill. You know what I'm saying?
This is for mentally ill.
But it's a temporary issue. It's a temporary issue.
I couldn't believe it. And here's the justification. They used a family whose kid died. He did kill himself. And the mother found him. So she was like, we would rather him just be able to end it all and we could all be there with him. Yeah, I kind of get that. But at the same time, I don't care how suicidal my son is. I don't think I would ever be able to watch him kill himself. I would have to stop it. I would have, because deep down I felt like that if I stopped it now, I can stop it again later. It gives me more time to help them. You know, and it's like there's just no case for it.
What kind of parent says, you know what, Johnny's been having suicidal thoughts, and I really believe that if this is what he wants, then he can have it. Like, no, you're not going to do that. I'm not going to sit down and relax. I'm going to exhaust every possible opportunity I can to help my son or my daughter. How could you just, as a parent, I couldn't imagine just being okay with that.
Well, this is where we're talking about being too progressive. And I got the snooty call. Ho, ho, American. You don't know. In America, they let their people suffer. This is much more humane. Here's the kicker, bro. We put our pets to sleep. Why shouldn't we do it to humans? Why do we care more about pets? And I'm like, you guys don't understand that we put pets to sleep because we do not put them on the same level as humans. That's
because
why we put them to sleep. That's why we put them to sleep.
I've talked about this a million times. A dog or an animal, for any animal, is never, in my opinion, never above a human being. Listen, dude.
Never.
There are shitty people in this world. There are very shitty people in this world. There's pedophiles. There's rapists. There are murderers. And guess what? In my opinion, they're still better than all animals because they're humans. That's why. We're top of the food chain, dude. We're boss hoss when it comes to everything else. You're going to tell me
and listen,
the people who have a problem with that statement are probably dog people. They're probably gone and rescued a pit bull. And guess what? I got news for you. Pit bulls statistically are dangerous fucking animals, okay? And I'm sure someone's thinking right now, oh, you know, my pit bull, he's a family dog. Okay, that's fine. That's why we're two different individuals. That's why you can have an animal like a pit bull and be comfortable with it. Me personally, I'll never have one.
Well, that's why.
In my opinion. Well, and that's my opinion. And listen, that's part of the issue with the whole social system right now is that I can't have an opinion without somebody else thinking that their opinion is more important than mine or they're right. It's fine. You can think that you're right. And I can think that I'm right. And you need to just accept that and move the fuck on. I never think that animals are more important than humans. I don't like pit bulls because, in my opinion, from the resources and everything that I've read, statistically, they're more dangerous. That's it. I don't care.
Well, I love pit bulls. But
it's fine. You can
love
pit bulls.
That's your opinion.
And that's cool. Exactly. Thank you, Pete. It's my opinion. Exactly.
Hell yeah. Yep. America.
Ah, God, my fucking blood pressure just shot through the roof. I feel like Alex Jones right now. They get me heated, dude. Stuff like that gets me heated.
We're getting hot.
Yeah, man.
Getting hot.
I feel like this has been sitting in my conscience for a long time.
Dude, bro, when I hear that argument, it makes me we do it to our dogs. We put our cats to sleep because they can't find homes. You're going to do that to the orphans or foster kids? Like, well, little Billy can't find a home, so it's time to turn him in and get his ass euthanized. But, fuck you, Billy. And then they just shoot him up with a bunch of whatever. And that's it. Billy passes away. Like, no, we don't do that to people. You know, it's not – we do things to animals because animals don't have rights the way that people do. They just don't. And the day that they do will not be a day where animals are protected. It'll be the day that people will have less rights. Because if you put animals on the same level as people – the quality of human beings is going to go down.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's what I see more happening rather than the animals being saved. Because what are you going to do, put a court system for the lion that just ate the zebra and throw the lion in jail for eating it? It doesn't make sense. It's impossible to implement a system that could give animals the same rights as people. It's ridiculous.
I agree with you.
It's crazy.
I agree with you.
So this... But this is what people call progressive sometimes. And I got very liberal views, okay? I'm very liberal in some ways. But I am not nuts. I'm very practical, okay? I see what works. I see what doesn't. And I know what's crazy. And I know what makes sense, you know? And that don't make any sense. None. It's crazy. Crazy talk.
So I was hoping that we'd get a few callers in for our next little topic that we're coming up, but doesn't seem like the phone lines are as popping as they were last week. Nas, where are you, man? Where we need you right now. The topic that I wanted, and before I gave my opinion, I wanted to get the perspective of the callers first, especially if you're a caller in the military, you know, active duty, no longer active, reserve. I'm going to bring it up, Pete. It's a hot topic.
All right. It's hot. Bring it up.
Hot off the presses. Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, trans ban in the military.
Uh-oh. Man, that's touchy.
It is very touchy. I mean, I guess I'll talk about it for a little bit. Maybe just...
All right.
I really hope a caller comes in, because I want to hear another person's view. I want to hear what their perspective is on it, because it seems to me to be pretty split down the middle when it comes to perspective on the transgender banning in the military. Listen.
Well, what are you going to say about it, Nick?
I feel like if you want to defend our country, if you have the balls, or lack of, to want to defend our country, I feel like you should be able to do it. If you're willing to fight and you're willing to put your life on the line, that does take a special type of person. That's not something that I could do. And I am thankful for you, Pete, and for all the others that have done that, because I know that I'm not able to do that.
Thanks, dude.
But
yes, thank all the vets.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And just to throw this out there, right now, we're selling political bullshit live T-shirts, and 100% of the proceeds of the first 20 T-shirts go to Heroes Relief, which is a not-for-profit organization that helps vets after they're done their active duty. If they find different vets who are in different situations, if they're losing their home, they try to help them out with the bills and try to make them better. They also give scholarships to the children of veterans, and they also try to help them pick up the medical bills that the veterans can't afford. And that actually brings up a good point for what I'm thinking, is that people are completely irate about the point.
The trans ban.
The 0.3% of people that are transgendered, that's 0.3% of the U.S. population that identify themselves as being transgendered. And they're protesting all over the place. I've seen, you see it in the news. People are not happy. But they fail to protest the failing and very broken healthcare system of current disabled vets.
Yep.
And I think in the scheme of things, there's really bigger fish to fry. There are veterans that need our help now, that need to be helped out. We need to do more to help them.
Well, my question is, with the people who are in now, and this is, I want to point out the worst case scenario of what this ban does, okay? And just on perspective of it, people who are in now, who are currently serving, who are transgender, under this ban, they could be pushed out. And I doubt they'll get a dishonorable discharge or anything like that. They'll probably get a general under honorable conditions. But I don't know. You just took away someone's – because people who serve their country, they're like, when you're in it and you did all that work and you went through boot camp, and you went through training, and you really put all you had into all the training and did everything they asked you to. And then, you know, a year goes by, you're in it, and next thing you know, something gets passed and they're throwing you out. I mean, that's got to be soul crushing. You know, so I really hope it's not that extreme, because I disagree with that. At that point,
I do too.
At that point, I disagree with it. I also disagree with if you come out that way, like let's say, you know, like not don't ask, don't tell policy, you know, how they got rid of that. We don't want that no more. If you say, yeah, I'm trans, and you get kicked out, I think there's something wrong with that. At the same time, I don't think that because you're transgender that the military has to change its standards for you. I went to the military, and everybody else went into the military, and we conformed. Some of us had long hair. Some of us had tattoos. Some of us had earrings. Some of us loved to do certain things. Some of us loved to wear certain clothes. Some of us wanted to be a certain way, you know, or always was a certain way. You go from wearing death metal shirts to hair down your back to being bald in a uniform, and now you're marching back and forth to chow, and you're treated a certain way. You know, these standards cannot be changed for anybody. And the reason that is because the military is not meant to be something that is for appeasing the civilian world.
People have said that the military is not a social experiment. You know, the battlefield is not a place to experiment on whether something, you know, works. If you're in battle, you're in a desert, you're driving around the desert, you're in a Humvee, it's 150 degrees inside, you know, you're there every day, you see the same people 24/7, you could be doing menial tasks, or you could be doing big tasks, you have to go back to the same shithole that you were in there earlier in the day. Tasking, and just from people that I've talked to, you know, just being in a situation, getting a letter, something pisses you off, you're fighting your friends. You know, you don't know how to handle it. A lot of people can't handle that atmosphere emotionally. A lot of guys break, you know, get into fights and do this and lose it. It happened. The battlefield is the most, you know, the most stressful place on earth. And there's no room for being wishy-washy on a battlefield. There's no room for – you're taking a regular citizen – and I guess not regular is not the right word. Nah, fuck it. You're taking a normal, everyday citizen, your regular dude, straight dude, who's on the battlefield, and they break. You're telling me that the experiment of throwing someone who's transgendered, who's been through turmoil – since they decide to come out as transgendered onto the battlefield, they're not going to break more. It's almost like it's like a loose cannon. You can't have that on a battlefield. You can't have that disorder.
So you look at as something as a transgender people all having gender dysphoria disorder, right?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, is that and I was going to bring this up, is that in order for you to be considered transgendered and get hormones or your different surgeries, whatever it is by two different doctors, you need to be diagnosed with gender dysphoria. Am I correct? Right. So in the military's eyes, never mind what we think, a civilian. No wonder it doesn't matter what civilians think. Through the eyes of the military, gender dysphoria is a mental illness, correct?
Yes, but
okay,
the trans
through the eyes of the military. That's through the eyes of the military.
The trans ban could potentially ban anybody who identifies as transgender, though. You know, and a lot of people in the gay community do identify as transgender. They're not necessarily like, because transgender is an umbrella of a lot of different things. It just means that you do not do the social roles that are normally applied to gender. That's what transgender means. It doesn't necessarily mean transsexual or people who actually have sex changes or people who really believe that they're
I understand.
The other sex.
I understand.
So it's so vague that what could happen is that a lot of people who are able-bodied fighters who would simply identify as trans, which could be, you know, women who quote unquote, and this is a horrible word, but this is a word that people use, you know, have more of like that butch look, you know, and they don't really identify or take on the role as a regular woman. These people can also consider themselves transgender. And you got them in the military, believe me. Or you have people who kind of feel like that, or they don't take on the male role. Maybe they like to wear a dress or something. You know, transgender doesn't necessarily mean that they're transsexual, or that they feel that they're that they literally feel they are the opposite gender.
Right.
It's such a wide umbrella of so many different things you can be. That
the spectrum is very broad.
It puts a lot of it puts a lot of people at risk of persecution who are able-bodied fighting people, you know, and all they got to do is come out as trans. And if the law is that way, then I have to say there's something wrong with that.
I agree with you because I think part of the problem, and I think what President Donald Trump was trying to do was save money, I guess. Like, that's the only logical way in my head that you can justify. To save money. Also, you know, in 1993, the DADT, Don't Ask, Don't Tell, was passed by Clinton, which was basically said, you know, it wasn't outright saying you can be gay, but it was saying, you know, don't ask about it. I'm not going to tell about it. Ain't no big deal. Because before that, if you were gay, you weren't allowed in the military. Right? So then
yeah.
Obama came along. He was the next Democrat that came up through the system, you know, in their political system. And he's the one who said, if you're transgendered, it's okay. I think that was passed in maybe 2012. I could be wrong. It could be an alternative fact. But I think Trump saw it as everything that Obama really tried doing, he's trying to like undo. So it's almost like a competition. He's trying to do a skinny repeal. Well, now it's a skinny repeal, which he was trying to completely repeal and put people at jeopardy with, you know, the healthcare system. So there's other aspects that he said he wanted to change, the NAFTA deal, things like that. And I think he's really trying to look for a win here. He's trying to look for that W. I don't know, man. I'm still on the fence about it.
It's easy to be on the fence about it because you also got to look at it like this. People who do need surgery, right, because they really do want to be the opposite sex, is that what you're joining the military for? Are you joining the military just so someone will cover these expenses? Because if that's the case, that's not why you're supposed to be joining. And I understand that aspect of it too, because here's the thing, after you get surgery, you're non-deployable. You have to get used to the hormones, and it takes months for you. You're going from a person who's maybe been, you know, using your natural hormones your whole life. You're on new hormones now, and it anything could kind of make things go a little what you're not used to mentally, because you're in a situation that's already very much a stress burden. The military is very stressful. It really is. Even if you're not at war, your daily life is more stressful than it ever will be out here.
Right.
Unless you're like homeless and you're like freezing in wintertime and stuff. But I mean, our problems, our stress, the military is the most stressful point in my life. I was more stressed out in the Marine Corps than I was out here. So if I was on a bunch of hormones and all of a sudden all my chemicals in my body changed, you know, it's not really the best place to be while I'm trying to get adjusted to hormones.
Well,
now, some people have been taken before they get in.
is that you need to be effective on the battlefield. You know, that's why if you have certain, there's certain things where like, if you're colorblind, you can't do certain things or be in it. If, you know, there's smaller things that cause you not to be able to be in the military. Right. So
yeah,
when you think about that, you really want to be effective. Because if you're not effective in the military and you're not completely 100% effective on the battlefield, then you're putting other people's lives at risk. And if, say, you're taking hormones because that's your daily medicine, you're out, and then there's a situation where you can't have those hormones for who knows how long, you're not at your best.
No, and here's the thing. If you deploy, you're really not supposed to – they really don't take anybody in for the most part. At least I know in the Marines that have to take medicine – daily, every day, especially for something with mental disorders or things of that are hormonal and emotional balances and things like that. They don't take you in, because when you get to Iraq, well, I guess I stopped saying Iraq, so we're not going to be there forever. You know, we're already out of there. But let's say you get to wherever the next war is, all right? There's Marines that didn't even get to sleep 4 days when they pushed into Baghdad. You know, so wherever you go, you might not even get the luxury of sleep, let alone
right.
medication. You're just not going to get the if you're on medication at all, you have to take it every day. You can't be in the military. I mean, once you get in, you can end up taking medication while you're on base and things. But if you're ever to the point where if you deploy, you still need your medication, they're going to discharge you. They will
right.
discharge you, or they'll put you at a desk. And they'll give you a job like that. It'll make you non-deployable. Or they'll put you – or if it is deployable, it'll be because we've been in a war zone long enough to where they really have a structured base, right, where they have a pharmacy and everything like that. But you're not going to have your medications if you're in country, in theater, especially in the beginning phases and even the middle phases of war. Could last all the way till the end. And they just – they really don't take anybody – who has to take medication every day, especially for mental illnesses and for emotional balancers. And if you're taking
right.
hormones, that falls under that emotional category because it balances
well,
the way you feel and things of that nature, and also
kind
your physical changes of your body.
Well, it kind of brings up a point that I saw earlier, and it's pissing me off because I see it all over social media, is there's like a – it's articles and there's infographics. It's like military last year spent $60 million on Viagra, but they can't afford $3 million for transgenders in the military. And there's a couple of things
yeah, but,
that's wrong with that, right?
But no one's getting Viagra when they're getting deployed. You know
that,
what I'm saying? You're not like in Iraq and it's like, oh, shit, doc, I need my Viagra. No, there's no Viagra in Iraq no more. You know what I'm saying? So if you need
right.
if you need these something to take every day to keep you, you know, the way that you identify with, because you, and you don't naturally make that chemical to be that way, you're not going to have that when you get deployed. And you're going to start turning into what you are biologically, naturally, without the hormones that you take. So what are you going to do then?
A lot of the work is complicated.
This is why people don't understand. You can take Viagra on base, and then you don't need it no more when you deploy. But if something as far as that, when you deploy, you're still going to need it, aren't you?
Well,
so
there's certain heart
do?
Conditions. There's certain heart conditions that use Viagra. Okay. I think what people don't really realize is that a side effect of fighting for your country and being in combat a lot of the time is PTSD. When you're depressed like that and you're not completely stable because of the PTSD, getting it up ain't a fucking thing. So it's like they make it seem like it's dirty, old, crusty men that are trying to get this Viagra when in actuality, and it's probably, I'm sure there are crusty old men that do get it from the military, but it's these guys that are fighting for us. And if you think about the number, right? So the number of trans, you have 0.3% of the American population identifies as being transgendered. Okay, even less than 1% is going to be in the military. You know what I mean? So proportionally, $60 million, $80 million compared to $3 million for a fraction of a percent in the military, proportionally is a lot more expensive. You just have a lot more people that are cisgender, than the people that are transgender. That's why that number is so high. But people are like, they make it a point to say, oh, Viagra, this, they could spend it on that. But, you know, the cost of $3 million for all the people in the military to be transgendered is just about what it costs for 2.5 Tomahawk missiles. Shut the fuck up and really think about what you're saying. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
One of the pros that I see, one of the good things about, I think, here's my solution. We have about 3 minutes left. I'm just going to give you my solution and how I feel the military should deal with this situation. Keep the transgendered people in the military. Allow transgendered people to be in the military, but don't pay for their hormones or surgeries. There, in the middle of the line. You're right in the middle.
I was going to bring up that point. You can't ban people because they're trans, but you can't have a military of people who aren't deployable because they depend on taking medication every single day. And if they deploy, that they can't be off. People don't understand. Is it if you're on medication that you have to take every day, unless you got a real cushy job, or you're not a frontline job, you're like a sergeant major or something, or you're a colonel, and no matter where you deploy, you're probably always going to have that resource because you aren't on the front lines with the guys, with the lance corporals, with the privates, with the sergeants, with the lower staff NCOs, with the first and second lieutenants and the captains who are out there fighting the battles, who have access to nothing except some MRE pouches that they got in their backpack. What are you going to do when you don't have your hormones then? And this is where you have to be practical about this. But this is where Trump is making a decision. He's not basing it off of practicality. He's basing it off the fact that people are transgender and not whether if they're trans and deployable at the same time.
Right.
And that's where he's making a mistake.
Listen, could you imagine the scenario this came across in my head, right? Like, you're the family of an ISIS fighter, and you found out that, like, your family member who was fighting for ISIS died because they were shot by a chick with a dick.
Brilliant.
Like, the shame of their family must be so high. That's why we need it in there. That's why we need them. To shame ISIS fighters.
I think a regular chick would shame them enough.
Yeah, but just Jesus Christ, man. That's such a, you know, being having those abilities and freedoms to be transgender in America is a great thing. And it does come with some persecution. And I wish it didn't. I don't want to be discriminate against other genders like that. I don't have to believe it or agree with what you do, but the common ground should always be that I'm trying to be as nice as possible, as positive as possible, you know? I don't want to discriminate against anybody else. That's plain and simple.
No. No. Of course not.
Listen, Pete, we have 30 seconds left here, man. So I just want to say, again, thanks for all the callers last week, man. I really enjoyed having everybody there and giving their input, and I hope in the future that people continue to call in. A few things, you know, like and share. We're here every Thursday at 9:00. Sorry for the delay of what happened today. I really don't understand what went on. We are selling T-shirts that say political bullshit on the front. You can take a look. You can follow it on the Radio AFS, or you can follow it on the Political BS Podcast on Facebook and see the shirts that we have. And donate to a good cause. We're out, Pete.
All right. Out.
Thank you for listening to Political Bullshit. Be sure to visit the website www.politicalbspodcast.com and subscribe to the email list to stay up to date on Political Bullshit.